Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 20th of July, 2015, the podcast that's a Mary Sue crossover. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jonathan Lochey. John, welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be back.
Let's reinstigate the news of the bogus.
News and bogus, isn't that kind of redundant?
Seems to be on this podcast, but anyway. Now we have more about how copyrights are becoming a far greater threat to our civil liberties than anything else. Get this. The MPAA wants to stop domain name privacy.
I mean, how dare people download copies?
That's pretty much it. So when you register a domain name, you give the registrar a bunch of your information, your address, phone number, things like that, and it shows up in a type of search called Whois. And there are a number of places on the internet you can do a Whois search, and you type in a domain, and you can find out who owns the domain and how to get in touch with them if you need to, like, if you want to buy the domain for someone or something like that, you can do that. Well, if you don't want people to be able to get your personal information that easily, you can buy a privacy feature that turns all of that off. Well, now the MPAA wants the registrars to hand over that information if they go complain to the owner of a website that he's abusing copyrights and they don't get a response. And understand, they want them to have to hand it over without a court order or a subpoena of any kind.
So, let's say I thought I had a claim to, let's say, WarnerBrothers.com. Could I do the same thing to the CEO of Warner Brothers?
Well, it would be to whoever registered the domain.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
But yeah, it's probably more of an issue for, you know, the independent and small website owner, you know, not a corporation who's going to put corporate information up there and corporate contacts.
Well, I know what you're saying. But for that matter,
if someone's going to run an illegal website anyway, they're not that likely to put their real information there in the first place, so...
This is just an absolute bully tactic. And again, it's... The copyright group's failing to understand how popularity is driven. I mean, look at even something like YouTube, which was hugely attacked for years, and now it's gotten to the point HBO and its parent companies, they don't even bother attacking all the... I can find literally every episode of Game of Thrones on HBO at this point.
Oh yeah, easily. They've come right out and said that piracy is actually good for their subscriptions. People pirating Game of Thrones... You know, they say, hey, I like this show, I'm going to subscribe to HBO and see what else they have.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, actually at this point, because Comcast jacked up my bill again, I'm probably going to go with Sling TV at this point.
Yeah, so the MPAA's Alex Deacon said, quote, in situations where clear and verifiable cases of abuse are found and direct communication with the customer of a privacy protection service is not possible, an effective and predictable framework to obtain contact details of the customer is required. MPAA believes it is equally important to consider the privacy interests and rights of internet users who interact with websites, many using privacy protection services on a daily basis. Users' right to know the identity of commercial entities with whom they are transacting is a foundational principle in consumer protection law. They're just looking out for you, the consumer, don't you know?
Right.
And then, of course, they came up with a whole balance thing. They have to strike a balance because people who use the domains for illegal and abusive activity, you can easily find out who they are and expose them. They're looking out for you.
Right. They just, you know... It's just a balance. You can have privacy, but just not too much privacy. We just have to make sure you're not downloading all of our content.
Right. Because you're guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
Meanwhile, the RIAA was up to no good as well. They obtained a preliminary injunction against Cloudflare to terminate all services to domains that use Grooveshark in the name. And Grooveshark was a website that hosted a lot of music, and people were actually able to get there and get on and get a whole bunch of music, and so the RAAA didn't like them and had them taken down. But now they're saying if you even have Groove Shark in your name, you have to take it down, which means they also had to take down GrooveSharkCensorship.cf, which was specifically set up to protest this kind of censorship.
Obviously, these people didn't learn their lesson with Napster or any of the other sharing services. I mean, the RIAA, why are they even bothering suing people at this point? It's been at least 15 years since it's been obvious that you can download music practically without impunity.
Yeah, and Cloudflare's point is that it's also working against legitimate website owners. Mm-hmm. They said in a statement, quote, Cloudflare has already been compelled by the injunction to deny service to at least one website that is plainly non-infringing and to others that are arguably non-infringing and have no discernible connection with the defendants in this case. This harm to Cloudflare's business and potentially to customers' business and to the free speech rights of its customers will continue without a modification of the preliminary injunction.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too is, okay, so anything with Groove Shark in its name?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you even start to say that that's legit?
Yeah. Next, it'll be everything with Shark in its name, and then everything with Groove in its name.
Or everything with Torrent in its name. Or
just Tor, because Tor is a bad thing too, remember?
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe we'll start banning things that rhyme with Buccaneer Cove or something.
Yeah, so Cloudflare sent an email to its customers whose sites had to be terminated. They said, quote, Dear customer, Cloudflare has received a court order in the case of Arista Records versus Vita Takak in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York, docket number blah, blah, blah. Cloudflare is currently enjoined from providing its services to any domain name containing the trademark GrooveShark. Cloudflare has asked the court to modify its orders to enable us to continue to provide service to your website. While this request is pending, we are compelled by force of law to terminate service. Unless the injunction is modified, Cloudflare will terminate your service for, insert domain name, by removing our authoritative DNS in 48 hours. We are sorry for any inconvenience.
At some point, what does it really do for these companies? And B, beyond twisting the idea of copyright to some absurd abomination, how can they really do this?
Well, I mean, yeah, it just smacks of shutting down protest against what they're doing. And the record label says that what they're doing is, quote, entirely appropriate. They said that it's up to Cloudflare to determine whether domain name is infringing, which is a complete lie, you know, because it just Groove Shark and that's it. And they also said they could consult the record labels if there's any doubt. So just let us know. We'll tell you if you have to take that domain name down or not.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of wish Dave was here to do his mob boss impersonation.
Well, that's basically what it is. You know, get you a little protection money.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. One bit of good news, there does appear to be limits on the censoring power of copyright law, as the BBC demonstrated, and it's all thanks to Google's transparency report and the chilling effects clearinghouse. So what happened was, on the 1st of July, an individual contacted Google with a complaint about a page posted on the BBC News website. And this was about a guy named Kevin Collinson, who just kept having one failed business after another. And what happened was he would run up a whole bunch of debts and then declare bankruptcy. And then after all that was cleared out, use the assets to set up the business again and continue with the debt free. And then I think this was the third iteration that they finally jumped in on and said, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Good old American way.
Well, British way, actually. I think this was a British guy.
Wow.
But anyway, the person who complained and wanted the page taken down was Collinson himself.
Oh, God.
And he said, quote, "I am the creditor, trustee, secure party, author of the copyright name, trademark, of Kevin Joseph Collinson, or any derivative thereof. I do not give chillingeffects.org any permission whatsoever to use copyright materials," he spells it C-O-P-Y-W-R-I-H-T. "I have ticked this form because of Google's forced mechanism where I could not submit a complaint without doing so." He gives the original URLs, and then the infringing URLs is the story on the BBC website. So apparently what's happened is Colin has a registered trademark of his own name, which is something that celebrities do. I know Billy Joel has done that. You look on a Billy Joel album, it says Billy Joel has registered trademark of Billy Joel, because he doesn't want any other singers named William Joel to try and get attention because of having the same name.
Hey, I mean, Shannon, I know you always have to have my trademark of registered Jonathan Lachey anytime I show up on this podcast, but... It's only mine that bothers, isn't it?
Yeah. Julian Assange has another one, and so does Stephen Hawking. And just basically, this is something that celebrities do just to keep people from making products or whatever that make it sound like that celebrity is associated with them. Well, apparently what Collinson has done is trademarked his name, Kevin Joseph Collinson, and trying to use that to say whenever someone writes a news story about him, they're infringing on his copyright. Google hasn't removed the page. The BBC hasn't removed the page. Chilling Effects hasn't acted on it. Yeah, basically, everyone's just ignoring it.
What else can you say? I mean, if you go on the internet and say stupid shit, that's kind of the purpose of the internet. Yeah. It preserves it for all time.
This is how far copyright laws have gone. You know, the public has the right to make use of publicly available content. The more that's restricted, the more things like this are going to be attempted, and some of them, sooner or later, are going to succeed. And really, this failed because he was going after giants, you know, like the BBC and Google, you know, enormous organizations that generally tend not to take any crap. What about smaller outfits, though, who can't really afford to fight this kind of thing?
I mean, no ones. I'm a part of the Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones fandom. One of the big things that really shook me was when the author of the books actually tried to have a website that was dedicated to being sort of a detractorism shut down just because they were pointing out the fact that, hey, you're taking 5+ years to get all the other books out. You shouldn't be mad when the TV show beats you.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bogosity Podcast. Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.bogosity.tv.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Okay, I initially wasn't going to cover this next story because it just didn't seem to fit the theme of the podcast. But the more that came out about it, the more it did. And then the more it did, and then the more it did. So, Hacking Team is a group that sells tools of surveillance and hacking to less scrupulous governments with horrible records on civil liberties, you know, like Russia, Kazakhstan, Ethiopia, and the United States of America.
America, damn it.
You see what I did there? So basically, Hacking Team got hacked. Yes, someone hacked the hackers. And those hackers grabbed 400 gigabytes of data from the company and posted it online. And among these are several zero-day exploits that Hacking Team had just been sitting on, apparently for their own exploitation and for use by whatever companies they sold the data to. This includes two very serious bugs in Adobe Flash. Adobe has fixed these, so make sure to update Flash on your computer. But
that's why I keep getting all its updates.
Oh, yeah, and there's some bad ones, too, in IE and things like that. Although, pretty much at this point, I've just removed Flash entirely from my computer. If I get to a website where I absolutely have to have Flash, I'll pull up Chrome because it has its own version of Flash that it keeps updated. But I've completely removed it in Firefox, and it's just not really used that much anymore because YouTube is HTML5. I went through the stuff I have on the podcast page and the custom BB codes to do things like embed videos, and I made sure that those were all HTML5 and that it only falls back to Flash if you don't have an HTML5 browser.
Yeah, HTML5 really has sort of taken over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's made things really good. And Firefox is working on Shumway. It seems to work all right so far. It's not ready for prime time yet. But the idea is it will take Flash from a website, convert all the Flash stuff to HTML5, and convert the ActionScript to JavaScript, and once that's ready, you won't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay.
So anyway, so they stockpiled all these zero-day exploits, and they were giving all these surveillance tools to governments, and of course that made them a big target for hackers. It's actually fortunate that they were hacked by hackers who were more civic-minded and put it all online so they could say, hey, look, here are these 0 days, as opposed to being hacked by hackers who wanted to steal the 0 days to use for themselves.
Funny how it happens.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, these things, I've said this before, it's quite the marketplace on there. If you find a 0 day exploit in something, you can sell it on the dark market from anywhere from $5,000 to $500,000, depending on what it targets and how big of an exploit it is. So one of the leaked emails, and by the way, all of the leaked emails from Hacking Team are on WikiLeaks and you can search through them. But one of them talked about paying the security firm NetraGuard. They paid them $105,000 to buy one remote code exploit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these things are big money. But I mean, all this does is put the public at risk, you know, and this includes the U.S. government and defense contractors and anyone who sells things to the government. Sitting on these things puts the public at a huge risk. Because even if you say, okay, we discovered this, we know no one else knows about it. Well, no, you don't, because if you can find it, someone else can.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Hacking Team came out and said that it was the hacker who got their stuff who was putting everyone at risk by putting all of this online for everyone to see. No, you were the ones putting people at risk.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, it didn't help that they have all these exploits and all these surveillance tools protected by probably the most abysmal security ever, including very weak passwords. One of the passwords was just password with the A changed to a 4. Okay, that's less than a second to get in.
And you know, sadly, that's more common than you think.
Oh, yeah. It's really, really sad. But, I mean, you would think that these would be people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, well, and again, it's like what I work with, where literally some folks will literally, all they will do is change password to, they'll change the P to a dollar sign, the A to the at sign, dollar sign again.
Oh, and of course, all sorts of stuff has come out about who they were selling to, including a death squad in Bangladesh, a paramilitary security agency known for torture and extrajudicial killings.
Don't you love democracy?
Of course, they sold lots of stuff to the DEA, and one that we know about was the DEA using their spyware to spy on Colombia in South America.
Well, we got to know the correct price of drugs there.
There you go. They also have the Israel-based company Nice Systems. I don't know if that's pronounced Nice or Nice, but they got stuff from Hacking Team and are pushing it all around the world, including Azerbaijan, Thailand, Brazil, Colombia, Guatemala, Honduras, Israel, Kuwait, Finland, Georgia, Greece, India, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and all sorts of other places. So it kind of is interesting. The DEA is using their software to spy on Colombia, and then Colombia is now getting their hands on it and can spy back on them, I guess.
Well, I can't find half those countries on a map, so they aren't real countries.
Yeah, that's true. So a spokesman for Hacking Team told the International Business Times, quote, "We don't have anything to hide about what we are doing, and we don't think that there is any evidence in this 400 gigabytes of data that we have violated any laws, and I would even go so far as to argue that there is no evidence that we have behaved in anything but a completely ethical way." If nothing else, sitting on 0 days is not in any way ethical. But they're saying they have nothing to hide and they've done nothing wrong, even though some of the leaked emails talk about whether or not they can start selling under a different name and then hiding their identity. Yeah, because that's what I do all the time when I'm behaving in a completely legal fashion and selling things that aren't in any way illegal or unethical. I hide who I am.
Damn it, Shane, when you want to protect the interests of America, the banner for ethics, for grandstanding, for being the best in the world, you have to do it completely underhanded and shady as hell.
Yeah. So another example was October 2012. In the United Arab Emirates, the company's technology was used to target a pro-democracy activist who was then tracked down and beaten by agents of the state. And of course, instead of condemning it and saying this is not what our software is supposed to be used for, Hacking Team just issued denial after denial.
Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons.
Yeah. But the emails also show CEO David Vincenzetti talking about criticism. The activist groups, he says, are, quote, idiots and are, quote, manipulating things and demonizing companies and people. And he sent one email warning the staff of the ramifications of leaking this information online. Quote, "Imagine this, a leak on WikiLeaks showing you explaining the evilest technology on Earth. You will be demonized by our dearest friends, the activists, and normal people will point their fingers at you." Well, guess what? That's what's happened. But it gets even worse. Christopher Segoyan, who is the principal technologist for the ACLU, had Hacking Team employee Daniel Milan actually threatening his assassination on Twitter. It's in Italian, but it looks like the translation is, quote, "I'm very tempted to respond, but we would only unleash a flame war. I think it's self-evident what an imbecile Segoyan is. If I can gather up enough Bitcoin, I will use a service from the darknet and eliminate him. An asshole of this caliber doesn't deserve to continue to consume oxygen." Now, of course, the press is calling that a joke, and maybe it was, but, I mean, haven't we seen a lot more veiled and vague and non-thready things considered as threats by everyone from social justice warriors to, you know, whoever? And of course, Hacking Team has never been that wild about Bitcoin in the first place. They've come out publicly saying that Bitcoin allows pedophiles hide from the authorities. And they said, quote, "This has to be stopped by all means necessary." And Segoyan shot back with, quote, "Is the Ethiopian government using your malware to go after child porn or journalists?" And overall, Segoyan said he feels pretty good about all of this happening. Quote, "This cheered me up. If they are making jokes like this, it means I am doing the right thing." History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now let's shout into this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, who has been claiming that wind power is the most affordable form of electricity generation, up there with natural gas, and more so than nuclear, coal, or hydroelectric power. The problem is, it's completely contradicted by the data. A recent study from Utah State University's Institute of Political Economy, titled "The True Cost of Energy, Wind Power," concluded that, quote, "The true cost of wind energy in the United States is, on average, 48% higher than most estimates claim. This is because generating electricity from wind power entails many hidden costs." So what the Utah researchers did was looked at the true cost as, quote, "the price tag consumers and society as a whole both pay to purchase wind-generated electricity and to subsidize the wind energy industry through taxes and government debt. After examining all of these cost factors and carefully reviewing existing cost estimates, we were able to better understand how much higher the cost is for Americans." And this included things like the Federal Protection Tax Credit, which is a big subsidy for wind producers, states that have their own renewable portfolio standards, and this requires utilities to purchase so much of their electricity from renewable sources, and of course, that drives up the cost to consumers. The fact that these wind farms are usually located so far from the existing transmission lines, there's an expense involved in expanding the grid, and of course, that's an additional expense that gets passed on to taxpayers and consumers. And also the fact that you have to have conventional generators as a backup, because wind, you can't really decide, oh, more people are using electricity, we'll just get some more wind power. It doesn't work that way, so you need conventional generators to act as backups.
Why do you hate renewable energy?
We don't hate renewable energy. We were talking about, like, the solar panels in Arizona, I think it was, how they came up with a cost-effective way to do it, and then Arizona clamped down on them, saying, sorry, you're competing with the power companies.
So they listened to Thunderfoot. Not to mention, they estimated their best power-generating month will be July, which, if you live in Florida, no, July is not going to be your best month, because it's always raining.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on where you live, how much solar you get, how much wind you get, things like that, and it's not really anything you can control. And there's also the fact that the tax money that goes into this is something that could be back into the pockets of the taxpayers to spend on the things that they want to buy. I know that's this big radical idea.
Wasn't that basically for every taxpayer of one of their projects?
So the report concluded, quote, "Through such policies, U.S. policymakers have essentially decided that electricity consumers will have wind power even if it is more expensive. The cost of this decision has fallen to U.S. taxpayers and consumers of electricity. When weighing the costs and benefits of wind power, not including all of the hidden costs, makes wind power appear to be a more attractive option than it actually is. Energy policy decisions, however, should be based on a more complete estimate of the cost of wind energy.
Yeah, and it's funny about that because these energy issues tend to be kind of a left-wing thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, anti-nuclear has been a thing for left-wing Americans for years, but...
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you're against nuclear power, I don't want to hear a word you have to say about global warming. Sorry, no.
Yeah.
No.
But not just that, but in terms of environmentalism, the major nuclear power plants in Florida, because they require such massive cooling streams and all that, are good for the environment. As a matter of fact, the American crocodile would literally be extinct in the United States without the Turkey Creek power plant, and the northern population of the Florida panther would be extinct without the Dames Point Creek power plant, you know, because of all the wilderness there.
But even that doesn't consider the whole costs. For the first time, there's been a report, and this is from the Australian government, about potential adverse health effects of people who live near wind turbines. And apparently there's been a significant amount of reports of dizziness, nausea, migraines, high blood pressure.
Damn it, Shane, it's nature. How can nature cause illness?
High blood pressure, tinnitus, chronic sleep deprivation, and depression. And all of this is associated with nearby wind turbines. And what they're thinking is that it's the low frequency noise that we know can actually cause some adverse effects that can result in sleep disruption. And a lot of these can be a result of not getting enough sleep. So what they're saying is they need to examine this issue and set the proper noise standards for these. Now, they do say that there is a lack of detailed, reliable data and that it, quote, does not allow for a proper scientific conclusion to be drawn. The committee is struck by the considerable gaps in understanding about the impact of wind turbines on human health. And of course, they're calling for more research to be done. But I mean, this could end up being a big problem for people who live near there.
Yeah. What's so bad about nuclear?
Just people don't think it's like Frankenstein. It's going to cause us to grow a third arm out of our head or something like on Futurama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have Professor David McKay, who stepped down last year as chief scientific advisor to the Department of Energy and Climate Change, who calculated that over a period of 25 years, a single shale gas pad covering 5 acres with a drilling rig 85 feet high would produce as much energy as 87 giant wind turbines covering 5.6 square miles and visible up to 20 miles away. And then you have Oxford University ecologist Clive Hambler, who said that every year in Spain alone, between 6 and 18 million birds and bats are killed by wind farm. And that mirrors what the California Energy Commission said, quote, in a summary of avian impacts at wind turbines, bird deaths per turbine per year were as high as 309 in Germany and 895 in Sweden. Per turbine! That's one of those little crucifix-type things spinning around and around for a year. Kills hundreds of birds.
But damn it, Shan, we feel so much better about them.
And then you have the British Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, pointing out that all this stuff is costing them £9 billion a year in subsidies by 2020, which is £1.5 billion more than the maximum limit they had originally planned. Big surprise, it's more than they thought it was. Which means that every household in Britain would be forced to pay an estimated £170 a year by the end of the decade to support renewable energy. Hey, if it costs more, how is it renewable?
Yeah.
That doesn't mathematically work out, people.
God bless American debt.
It just gets you farther and farther down the hole. So all of that makes the U.S. Energy Information Administration this week's biggest bogon emitter. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to pat down this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And for the fourth time, it goes to the TSA. This time for their idiotic checklist to try and determine who's a terrorist.
I'm going to guess you're a libertarian on your voter registration card.
Not quite, but we'll talk about it. It's actually called the Spot Referral Report. It's been pretty much a joke since it was introduced in 2007. There's basically no science supporting it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess again. You're brown-skinned, and you might have been born in the Middle East.
Not quite. We'll get there, then. So in 2013, the Government Accountability Office found there was no evidence to back up the fact that these behavior indicators, quote, can be used to identify persons who may pose a risk to aviation security. The human ability to accurately identify deceptive behavior based on behavioral indicators is the same as or slightly better than chance. And the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security found out in 2013 that the TSA had failed to do any evaluation of the SPOT program and therefore, quote, cannot ensure that passengers at United States airports are screened objectively, show that the program is cost-effective, or reasonably justify the program's expansion. But, of course, that hasn't stopped the TSA from deploying thousands of behavior detection officers and spending more than $900 million since 2007.
Oh, God.
But thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request from the ACLU, we now know what these are, so let's go through it. So we have the first section, well, the second section, actually, observation and behavioral analysis. If you have 0 to 3 points from this section, you're allowed to proceed. 4 to 5 points, you're referred to screening. And 6 or more, you're referred to screening and you notify the officer. All right, so you get 1 point each for arriving late for your flight, avoiding eye contact with security personnel, exaggerated yawning, because why on earth would anyone who's traveling around the country from airport to airport be yawning? Excessive fidgeting, clock-watching, head-turning, shuffling your feet, leg-shaking. Excessive perspiration, inconsistent with the environment. Face pale from recent shaving of beard, so don't ever shave. Your face is flushed while you're undergoing screening. Your eyes blink faster. You breathe faster. You have an Adam's apple jump. Protruding or beating neck arteries. Repetitive touching of your face, rubbing or wringing of hands, so if anyone who has OCD is basically screwed. Strong body odor, sweaty palms, trembling, or whistling. Whistling is a big problem. You get 2 points each if your bag appears to be too heavy. If there are bulges in your clothing. Okay, bulges, I can understand. A cold, penetrating stare. Constantly looking at other travelers or associates. Basically, anyone with autism is screwed. Exaggerated emotions or inappropriate behaviors.
Basically, anyone annoyed with government bullshit is screwed.
Well, that's true, too. Anyone who's just been traveling around a lot, you know, because they also say exaggerated repetitive grooming gestures. Hesitation or indecision on entering the checkpoint. Individuals who are seemingly unrelated but dress alike or have identical luggage. Powerful grip of a bag and or hand inside the bag. A rigid posture. Minimal body movements with arms close to sides. So don't fidget, but don't stand still with your arms close to your sides. Scanning the area, appearing to looking for security personnel or Leo. Okay, so you can't look at the TSA agents, you can't look away from the TSA agents, and you can't look around the area. Shows unusual interest in security officers and their work routine. Displays arrogance and verbally expresses contempt for the screening process. There you go. I mean, no, that's just dumb, because if you're a terrorist, you want people to feel safe. You want to talk up the screening process. Hey, this is great. They're keeping us safe as you sneak 95% of your weapons and half of your bombs through. You want them to feel safe because it's just that much more terror when you blow them up. wearing improper attire for the location, because heaven forbid you should go ahead and dress for where you're going, and widely open staring eyes. And then 3 points each if you appear to be confused or disoriented, because airports are so easy to find their way around. Appears to be in disguise. Asking security-related questions. Not responding to authoritative commands. Maintaining covert ties with others, including consistent eye contact and hand gestures, and repeatedly patting the upper bodies with your hands. And then we have down in section 3, this is unusual items. If you're traveling with almanacs, because why on earth would you have those when you're traveling around the world? Blueprints, a GPS unit, of course most of our phones and tablets have GPS in them now. Training manuals for flight, scuba, explosives, or military. So if you're going down to the Florida Keys to go scuba diving, don't bring your manual with you. Liquids or gels in excess of 3.4 ounces. We knew about that one. Numerous prepaid calling cards or cell phones. Because why on earth would you want those if you're traveling out of the country? You should pay the $200 a month to use your home account and pay the roaming charges. Photographs and diagrams of high-profile targets, so don't buy a postcard with a picture of the Capitol building or the White House on it. Rope, wire, duct tape, loose batteries, and loose electronic components. And then section 4 is signs of deception, and this includes the Adam's apple jump, appearing not to understand questions. Again, autistics are screwed. And oh, with this section 4, you just need two or more of these, and it's an automatic Leo notification. Change in voice pitch, rate, volumes, choice of words, or a dry mouth. Again, why on earth would you have a dry mouth when you're traveling? Constantly looking at other travelers or associates. Basically, don't look anywhere. Blindfold yourself while you're going through. I think that's the only way to avoid this. Covers mouth with hand when speaking, because heaven forbid you should be courteous to other travelers when you're talking to someone. Delayed responses to questions. Distracted or inability to pay attention to present situation. Does not remember significant facts when answering questions. Downplaying of significant facts when answering questions. Evasive or vague responses. Exaggerated yawning. And, again, excessive complaints about the screening process. Excessive perspiration. Excessive throat clearing. Face becomes flushed. Fast eye blink. Gazing down. So you can't look down either. Basically, there's no direction you can look. Gestures don't match the verbal message. Gives non-answers, I guess it's a good thing Obama has Air Force One or he'd never make it through. Increased breathing rate, panting, lacking details about the purpose of the trip, movement away from the official towards exit, how dare you try to leave? You would think if a terrorist were leaving, it wouldn't be a problem. Leaving is kind of what you want them to do, isn't it? No or little direct eye contact. Again, autistics are screwed. Overly specific with answers that would appear to indicate the information is memorized. How dare you have a good memory? Oh, and if you remember, not remembering things was bad too. Placing objects between self and official. Repeating back questions instead of answers. Again, Obama needs to keep Air Force One because he'd never make it through. Scans area appearing to look for security personnel or Leo. Trembling of voice or body. Unfamiliar with passport ID or ticket data, because those things are so easy to read and make out. Oh, God, when Heather and I went to our honeymoon, it took us like 5 minutes to figure out which gate we were supposed to go to. They've gotten really confusing. Well-rehearsed answers that may not respond to questions or that may appear to be memorized, and whistling during the screening process. So don't ever whistle while you work, I guess. At least if you're going on a business trip. And of course, absolutely none of that has anything to do with the behaviors that a terrorist would actually do. In fact, a terrorist is going to be more on the ball and try to avoid doing all those things and do everything he can to appear just like a normal, regular passenger. So no, it doesn't keep us safe. But then, it's never really been about that, has it? So all of that keeps the TSA on top as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this Pete and Repeat edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Loche for joining me.
Thanks again.
Until next time, here's a quote from Bruce Schneier. We can't keep weapons out of prisons. We can't possibly expect to keep them out of airports. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.